Hello, hello, and welcome to Pish Posh with Lindsay Wilson, a podcast about prioritizing passion. Each week, we cover topics in the personal development space, including things like money, finance, business, entrepreneurship, mindset, and seriously, whatever else I'm feeling extra passionate about that week. These conversations are meant to encourage you to prioritize your passion. Welcome to the party. I'm so glad you're here. Let's get into it. Hello, hello, and welcome to a bonus episode of Pish Posh with Lindsay Wilson. This is my 2020 end of year reading rewind, where I am going to go over all the books that I read in the second half of the year. If you really love this episode and you haven't listened to the mid-year book freakouts that have been before, those are the books I read in the first half of the year. I love these bonus episodes. I love sharing them. I love sharing what I read. And, you know, I didn't want to have a completely just book podcast talking about what I read all the time, but I love having these every once in a while because I love talking about what I am consuming, whether that's food, movies, TV, and books. So I love reading. 2020 was a year where I really dove back into reading so much more than I used to, and I'm so happy about that. I mostly read on my Kindle, and I am a subscriber. I have a Kindle Unlimited subscription, is what I should say. So I pay $10 a month for that, and I read a bunch of books, and it's kind of unlimited, as you can say, for free books on that. So it's specific ones. So a lot of the books that I'm going to be talking about today are on Kindle Unlimited. So if you see like three or four that you're interested in, definitely try out Kindle Unlimited. You can use it on your Kindle. You can use it on your laptop, on your regular desk computer. So you don't actually have to have a Kindle to use it. You can also use it on your phone. But I also highly suggest getting a Kindle. A Kindle Paperwhite is my absolute favorite. And then just checking it out. You can pay for 1 month, see what you get done in that month, and then cancel it. So it's really a good deal if you want to do stuff like that. But we're going to get into the books that I read this year. I always like to preface these with my reading styles. So if you like something completely opposite of what I usually like to read, you probably won't enjoy many of my books, but I was somewhat diverse this year in what I read in the year as a total, but I like thrillers. So like mystery kind of thrillers, murder, a little bit of true crime. I really like personal development, self-help books as well. I read less of those this year, and especially less in the second half of the year, but that is something that I usually enjoy a lot of, and I really enjoy memoirs. So those are kind of my top three categories. I will really read almost anything besides like fantasy, sci-fi stuff. That's not my style, but there are so many good books out there. I've just learned to just keep trying it out. But most of my reading style was definitely pretty dark in the second half of the year. So you guys might think I'm a little crazy once I tell you all the books that I read, but it's kind of fun. So if you guys have any questions about reading styles or Kindles or anything, like I said, I always suggest the Kindle Paperwhite. That's what I have. No glare. And my favorite thing about it is the battery life is insane. Like, it is so good. If you get a Kindle Fire or anything, or you read on an iPad or something, there's a glare, which the Kindle Paperwhite doesn't have. And the battery life on those is non-existent compared to how great the Kindle Paperwhite is, but to each their own. I want to read more books hard copy again, but the convenience of the Kindle is just spot on. But this is not an advertisement for Kindle or Amazon or anything like that, but I just like to preface with kind of my reading style, what I'm usually reading on, and I guess we'll just get into it. So these are the books that I read from July through December. And I had a reading goal of 25 books this year, and I ended up reading 44, I believe. So I surpassed my goal, and I'm really happy about it. And I would recommend almost every book that I read this year to somebody. I think they're all great books to read. There's a couple that I didn't enjoy, but somebody else might enjoy. And there's one that I would not recommend you waste your time on. But here we go. So the first book, and I'm going to try to not make these too long because I don't want this to be a crazy long episode, but for real this time, here we go. So the first book I read in the second half of 2020 was called The Last Sister by Kendra Elliott. What I really loved about this book is it is set in a town in northwestern Oregon, on the Oregon coast, which is just an area that I love, I've been to, and so I like reading from settings that I'm familiar with. And it is a thriller mystery kind of novel. It really moved kind of slow, and it took me a while to get into it compared to some of the other thriller mystery writers that I read. But the story touched on some racial topics and some Oregon history, and it was all very interesting. And the end of it was so climactic. It was great. I would really suggest it, especially if you're from the Pacific Northwest like me, because I just loved the visuals and I loved it. So it made me think of the Oregon coast and it made me want to go back. And then we did. Okay, next one. Here we go with the dark stuff. And some people might say, okay, it's dark when we're talking about like murder mysteries. This is dark in another way. This is Spilled Milk by K.L. Randis. And she wrote a memoir about her life growing up in an abusive home. And she is a great writer. And it's a very profound story. What she did, what she went through was very inspiring. And the great thing about her is that she is so open to talking about her story. And she actually is kind of famous on TikTok now, which seems very odd because child abuse is such a dark topic, but her taking this kind of platform and continuing to spread her message, and there is better and things to look out for, and helping people. She is working in social work now. It was just a great story, but it's very, very dark subject matter. So if you can't handle that, I would not suggest it for you, but it was a good story. Next one was Witch by Lisa Lister. And you might've seen this book before if you're into anything witchy. It's a plain black book, says witch on it. I have wanted to read this for a long time. I think it's one of those books that you see around because, oh, it's cool. It's on Pinterest or Instagram. You see a bunch of people reading it. And I am interested in all these like witchy things, looking at like the moon and herbs and whatever, holistic things, as well as mindset. And this book kind of was a hodgepodge of a lot of different things, which was really cool. So it had a little bit of everything in there. And I would definitely suggest getting the hard copy because there's things like recipes and stuff that you would want to use at different times of the year. It was interesting, definitely not my favorite book, but it was a good read. I'm glad that I read it, but I had high expectations after seeing it so much, and it didn't shock me or anything. It's not meant to though. So the next one took me forever to read because it was written in like 1937 or something, I think it says. Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. So this is another one, like everyone says, you have to read this book. Like this is one of the great books, one of the classics, I guess you could say. And I thought it was going to be about business and money, and it was far more about mindset and money and manifestation and the law of attraction. And I was honestly shocked that this was something that businessmen were talking about that long ago. Like the context for manifestation now is so often like hippies or just women. And it was just the complete opposite of that. And I think it's a great book. The first chapter is so extremely dry, but it moved along a little quicker after that. It is a struggle to get through, but it was really a great read if you're interested in money, manifestation, and mindset. And it was just crazy to think about, like, Henry Ford was compared to things like the law of attraction and business and thinking about that kind of stuff. It was just an interesting combination of ideas and people. And I see why it's been re-released so many times and people are still reading it 90 years later. Like, it's crazy. Definitely was suggested if you're into manifestation, but it will take you a while probably. Next one I read was a gift from my boss, actually. She handed it to me, and I'd seen it around, and it is Hillbilly Elegy by J.D. Vance, and now there's a Netflix movie about it, so it was really popular. I remember seeing it on the shelves everywhere, and I was really intrigued by it. I grew up in a community that's definitely not rich, and you see a lot of poverty maybe in my town or in surrounding areas, but this is about the Appalachia community, and there's a big conflict. I don't know if it's supposed to be Appalachia or Appalachia. I think Appalachia, so that's what I'm going to say right now, but anyways, it calls itself a memoir, but it's really not that much of a memoir from my memory of it. It was like half memoir, half observances from and opinions of this community in the West Virginia, Kentucky area. And it definitely moved slow. And a lot of the things in it were not extremely shocking to me because I'd learned about it before, or I'd seen similar things in areas that I'm familiar with. But I think it would be a more shocking read if you're somebody who grew up like in like suburbia for your whole life and then are still living in like a suburban area. I don't know. It was okay. It was definitely nothing to write home about. I don't exactly know why it's so popular. It just didn't really do it for me. I think I'm just reading too many like thrilling books that maybe this one just didn't stand out as much. It was a good read, but I barely even remember things in it. So there's that one, Hillbilly Elegy. Okay, next one was Raving Fans. And this one, my boyfriend Casey, his dad gave it to me because we both really love talking about business and this kind of stuff. And I'm just so grateful that he gave it to me because this was one of the greatest things I've ever read in my life. And it's so easy. It's like less than 100 pages and it's written in kind of a fantasy way. So I think I said already, Raving Fans by Ken Blanchard and Sheldon Bowles. So I think this should be required reading in high school because it talks all about customer service, which sounds super boring, but it was not the way that it was written. I don't even really know how to describe it so much because it is so impactful in such a different way. And I just want more people to read it, but I don't even know how to say it. But if you work in customer service, if you are interested in business writing or personal development writing or entrepreneurship, you need to read this book. I don't know how I've never heard about it before. I am disappointed in all of my previous employers for not making me read this. I'm disappointed in my high school for not making me read this. And my college, because this is an important book to read. So there's my raving review for this book. Like, you need to read it. It's so simple and easy, but you need to read it if you're interested in business at all. Okay, on to a fictional story. The next one was Running the Light by Sam Talent, who is a comedian. And this book is about a comedian. So this one is dark. Again, you hear about a comedian who is kind of past his prime. So he's no longer the cool guy. He's reminiscing of his good family life and the fame that he had, but now he is just doing road shows and going into not the best gigs. And he is definitely addicted to coke and an alcoholic and all the things. And it's a dramatic read. It's definitely like a fictional just read, but I can totally see how this could be the life. It felt very realistic. It felt like you were reading a memoir, but it was a story. I love stand-up comedy and I really enjoyed it. So The foreword was by Kyle Kinane. So just read this book if you are into stand-up comedy like me. A ton of comedians are recommending this book to read. They're saying it's so legitimate. It's so like spot on, hit the nail on the head for a lot of comedians. They completely understand this character. You know this character on such a deep level in this book, which is something I really enjoyed. Next one was one that was on my to-be-read list for a long time. It is Starvation Heights by Greg Olson. So Starvation Heights is actually like 20 minutes from where I'm recording this right now, and it's in Olalla, Washington, right next to where we live in Gig Harbor. And it was a place where a doctor, in air quotes, she's not a real doctor, but it was a long, long time ago. A fake doctor basically was saying that she could heal people of mostly autoimmune diseases. And what she basically did then was take people to her sanitarium and not feed them. And it's a little bit more descriptive than that, but people talk about this like it's a really scary book, and I didn't see it as scary. It was just more disturbing that this kept going on. And a lot of the book actually centers around the lawsuit that followed the death of one of her patients. So that was, if you're expecting the whole thing to be kind of like a dark, gripping tale, it's not exactly that, but I am really glad that I read it, and I've wanted to learn the history of this event for a long time. So I'm glad that I learned about the history of it. And it was also interesting to hear just more of the history of the area where I live. So that was cool. They're talking about different ferry boats and stuff that don't exist anymore. Bridges aren't here. Like, it was just interesting, that part. But that one was Starvation Heights by Greg Olson. Greg Olson is one of my favorite authors of the year. I am obsessed with him, but this one was definitely a historical thriller rather than his usual just a modern day thriller. So it was less exciting than the other stuff that I read from him, but good nonetheless. And I learned a lot. Next one. This was a thriller. This was good. It is way, I need to keep going here. Okay. So Unspeakable Things by Jess Laurie. And I guess I haven't said this yet, but all of the titles will be in the show notes. So if you kind of forgot one or something, and there's also a full out blog post on this, so you'll be able to read anything that you want to and find any of the books that I'm suggesting here. But Unspeakable Things was a mystery thriller written from the perspective of a middle schooler. So it's a middle school girl. And it was kind of during the time where, I think they said it was the 80s, and it was like people were really scared about getting kidnapped or having their kids be molested. And that was kind of the theme of the book. And this is kind of a silly one because it's called Unspeakable Things, and I just really don't have much to describe it on because I don't want to give anything away. But it is disturbing because some of the darkest parts of the book are not explicitly written about. They are just hinted at. And that's, I think, all I can say on that one. But it's another dark one. That one's really dark, actually. And it's a great juxtaposition because it is so dark, but it's written from the perspective of somebody who's so young. So they don't understand exactly how dark the subject matter is. I think that's all I'm going to say on that one. Okay, next one. One of my favorite books of the year. Oh, the next two are some of my favorite books of the year. So The Stillwater Girls by Minka Kent. Minka Kent is one of the best authors that I've found this year. I love her. She writes great thriller books. The Stillwater Girls is about a group of sisters who is living out in the woods with no electricity, no TV, no phones, no nothing really. They're living off the grid, like pioneer style, with their mother. Their mother leaves and leaves them there. So that's how the book starts out. They're stuck there in the winter, and this is somewhere East Coast, I think in New York, but upstate, obviously. So they are out there in the woods. And that's part one of the story. I love books that are written from multiple perspectives. So that's kind of one group. And then there is a husband and wife who struggled to conceive a child. They ended up not being able to conceive a child. And so you kind of hear from the wife's perspective. She is kind of just missing something in her life and she's worried about her relationship with her husband. So that's another part of the story. And then they come together in a very interesting way. It's very exciting. It's thrilling without being scary at all. It was fabulous. Great storyline. Minka Kent is just so good at combining a good storyline with a little bit of like fear and suspense and a great twist at the end of this one. Such a good twist. You need to read it. The Stillwater Girls by Minka Kent. Next one is a favorite of the year for so many people. I'm in a couple Facebook reading groups. This is one of the best books of the year by far. And it is called Verity by Colleen Hoover. Oh my God. It was so good. I literally was reading it and I would stop and this was at the end of the book and I would stop and I would tell Casey how much, like what was happening. And then I would get back and then read some more and tell him again, because it was so good. I just couldn't like keep it to myself. And when I was done, I was so distraught and disturbed. This is a disturbing book and you need to read it. It's a combination of romance and thriller and just, it was so crazy. I have not read a book that has made me feel like this after I finished it in a very, very long time. It leaves you thinking, it leaves you wondering, but it leaves you just a little disappointed because you know another book's not going to match up to this one. So once again, that's Verity by Colleen Hoover. I don't want to explain too much because it's just too good. You need to experience for yourself. After I read Verity and it left me feeling very crazy, I just was thinking very deeply about the world after that book. I read a small group of books by Mindy Kaling. So Mindy from The Office, from The Mindy Project, you know Mindy Kaling. She's written a lot of books actually. And this was a group of six short stories. So I'm just calling them as one. I love her writing style. It's so fun. I felt like it was watching like an episode of Real Housewives or just something like heartwarming, like Friends or something like that after reading something so dark. I love her. Like she just makes me happy. Her books are also good. And this group of six stories was just uplifting, happy stuff with a little bit of like deep, interesting, meaningful, heartwarming things sprinkled in there. Next one was another one by Minka Kent. And like I told you, I have a lot by her, so I won't explain her that many more times, but I am going to mention, you know, when she's the author. But now you kind of know I really liked her this year. And it's thriller mixed with like a real good story. So the next one was When I Was You. I hope I said that because I feel like I kind of slurred it. When I Was You by Minka Kent. This one was a weird story about somebody who like I don't want to explain too much, you know, guys, but it was about identity and stolen identity. And somebody found out that her identity was being stolen. And then the rest of the book is trying to figure out how to confront these people and figure out why they would do such a thing. And then there's always a little bit of murder and stuff involved there. So it's intense at the end, but most of it is just like a slow build to this craziness. Next one is To Hell with the Hustle by Jefferson Bethke. So Jefferson Bethke is a Christian writer. He writes and speaks and does a lot of stuff in the Christian space. And I haven't read any of his books before, but I heard about this one when it came out about a year ago. I was a little intrigued then, but I wasn't going to pay for it. And then it was on Kindle Unlimited, so I read it. I have mixed feelings about this book because I understand why people don't agree with like hustle culture and you got to keep working all the time. You got to keep moving all the time. And I understand why we should not be, you know, looking at our phones all the time. But at the same time, as somebody who's young and like working, I don't see the problem with some of these things. And he wasn't condemning anyone, but this book is really focusing on spending more time with your family and prioritizing what's important to you, whatever that is. And most of those things don't have to do with work. It's more things like your family, your friends, like yourself, spending time alone. You don't need to fill up your calendar with things to do every moment of every day. I think it's really geared toward people who have families, and that's fine. It was good. It was a good read. It also talked a lot about the news and social media, which is the section that I enjoyed because there's just so much craziness going on, but it's an interesting read, but I definitely think it's geared more towards people with kids. So if you have kids and you like Christian writing, this wasn't too Christian though. It was not overpowering to me at all, but it was good. The next one I read was a book club read, but not really a book club. So I listened to a podcast who was suggesting this book, and it was another one that was free on Kindle Unlimited. So I said, sure. And it was so boring for so much of it. Like, I wanted to love it. And it was lighthearted. It wasn't even lighthearted. Like, it just brought good feelings by the very end of it. And made you feel like, oh, it's good to connect with people. That's kind of the meaning of the book. It's making connections with people. Even the little good things that you do make a difference. It's not just like nothing or is insignificant, but it was kind of boring. So have you seen Louis Velez by Catherine Ryan Hyde? Catherine Ryan Hyde, I saw she's written like a million books. So I guess some people love her. And the story was fine. It's about a boy who helps a very elderly woman who is blind, which sounds really heartwarming. So when I say it's boring, I probably sound like a bad person, but it was just not very exciting. It's very slow moving, but it does have a lot of good heart in it. But everyone who was on the podcast that said, this is our book of the month, they also agreed it was boring. So it's not just me. The next one was extremely dark. It's a true, I would call it a true crime book, but it is not about, I don't know what to say here. It's true crime. It's written like a journalist wrote it. So it's very just straightforward. It's not a lot of storytelling. It is just nonfiction, very nonfiction. I guess that's what I should say. It was called To the Bridge by Nancy Rommelman. And this is about a mother who dropped two of her children off of the, I believe it was called the Selwood Bridge in Portland. So this happened quite a while ago in 2009, but this kind of documents that. And the journalist who was looking into this and looking into why, this is, like I said, really dark. Mothers kill their children and it's more prevalent than we think. And it was an interesting read. I like reading about true crime, especially when it's in an area, like I said, the Pacific Northwest that I'm familiar with. But if you don't like nonfiction, you're not going to like this. And if you don't like dark things, you're not going to like this. This was definitely not a fun read. It was dragging, but not all reads are supposed to be fun. They're supposed to teach you something. And I was just learning about this event and definitely learned a little bit with this one. And we just keep rolling into the dark books. Next one was Call Me Tuesday. This is similar to Spilled Milk. It was a memoir documenting child abuse in a home. And this mother was so disgusted with her child, she wouldn't even call her by her name. It's rough. This is a rough book to read. I don't know. I've just seen it a lot. And I don't know why I am drawn to reading these books, but I do think it's important for people to learn a little bit about this and also to, you know, be able to recognize some of the things that we see that might indicate child abuse. So This one and Spilled Milk are both really rough in that category. But Call Me Tuesday, also, a lot of people said they didn't enjoy the ending because there was not really a moment of revenge as much as a reader might hope after being so angry. So that is just something to think on. But I read that one. It was just a category that I guess I got into because there's another one I read both about this, but I got a little numb to it after a while, but it was just interesting to see how people can treat other people. Okay, next one was Welcome to the United States of Anxiety by Jen Lancaster. And that was a bad book. Guys, this is the book. I have never written a negative review on Amazon before about books, and I had to for this one because it was a complete waste of my time. And I'm one of those people where I don't want to stop once I've started something. And so I got, I think I was probably over it by the time I was like 50% through with this. And I said, you know, I'm already halfway through. I got to keep going, but it just dragged and it was not good. When you see something that says, Welcome to the United States of Anxiety, you would think it's about anxiety and maybe some self-help tips, maybe some like funny stories. And it was nothing of the sort. It was just terrible. Jen writes fiction books, I believe. And this was her first, I saw that this was her first foray into nonfiction, and it did not work for her. It was sort of a memoir, but like she says in the subtitle of Observations from a Reforming Neurotic, it is observations, but it is the worst kind. She's completely judgmental the whole time while telling people not to be judgmental. The things that she says about people who have children is insane. And she, like, if you don't want to have children, that's fine. But she doesn't want to have children. And then she like puts down people who want to have children. And then she says, oh, I don't care what you do because, you know, anyone can do what they want. But it's like, you just wrote three paragraphs, like putting down this person and judging them. Like, she pretends to be a good person, but she's not, I think. And it's just so bad. And she talks about all these deep subjects and then like tries to make jokes, and it just does not work at all. Like, it was bad, guys. Do not waste your time. It was free on Kindle Unlimited and it was not worth my time. So Jen, you win the worst book of the year for me. Next one was another dark one. But this is one that while I was reading it, I was definitely intrigued by it. I was interested in it the whole time, but I didn't think it was something that I was going to think back on often. But I have thought back on this one so often. I keep thinking about it. It's been stuck in my mind. So I really wanted to share this one. I mean, I'm sharing all of them, but I really wanted to share a little bit more about this one. It is called Wholly Unraveled by Keely Burgin. And she grew up in a very religious cult. Some people might say it's a religious sect or cult. It was very interesting to me. They didn't touch on the religion as much as I thought it would be, because in the beginning of the book, she's with her family and her father is extremely religious and makes them go to these very interesting ceremonies. And then very quickly in the book, they leave. And that's when things get crazy because they go on this road trip and her dad is in complete control and he is not a good person. So we learn about how terrible some people can be. He is completely unhinged and they just had to live with it. And people just ignored what was happening to her. Her siblings and her mother just ignored it. And it's just insane. But then she grows up and she goes to a religious, kind of like a commune, where she is learning more about herself and just she has to basically just live in poverty almost. And it was really interesting, just her whole story from going from just this crazy childhood to then she went and she was in her 20s and living in, I believe it was Omaha, and drinking and drugs and all this, like, that kind of craziness, and then going to the complete opposite and just finding herself. So really, really good book. And it makes you think about what you want to value in your life and what's important in your everyday, how many things we can actually give up and still be happy, or the things in our life that aren't making us happy, but we think that we need them. Next one, I will try not to go too in depth on because I want to do a whole podcast episode on this one, but it was a book that I've been wanting to read since it came out, I believe in 2018, The Coddling of the American Mind by Greg Lukianoff and Jonathan Haidt. I don't know, but I don't know how to say their last names. They're hard. But this book, the subtitle is How Good Intentions and Bad Ideas Are Setting Up a Generation for Failure. And really, it is talking about the nature of coddling in the college system in America and how freedom of speech is being taken away or redefined is another thing. And my big takeaway from this book was that discomfort does not equal danger, but people will think they're the same thing and act like they're the same thing. And it was a lot of good stuff, a lot of big information in there. And it talked about raising children, and then it was really focused on the college system and things that have been happening around the United States in the college system, and riots, protests that have been had, and the reasons behind them. I think you got to read it for yourself, and I definitely want to talk more about it, but it is a great book. I'm glad that I finally crossed it off my list. I'm proud of myself. I did it, and I'm thankful that I read this book. Next one I read was Layla by Colleen Hoover. And Colleen Hoover wrote Verity, so I was very excited for this book. And from when they were kind of pushing this book out, because it's a brand new release, basically, it came out last month, I think. And when they're pushing this out, people were saying that it was going to be similar to Verity. I don't think it is, but it's still a good book. If you're going to compare it to one of the best books I've ever read in my life, it's hard to compare it to that. So I'm just going to say it was really good. It has paranormal stuff in there, and I like paranormal ghost stuff. So I enjoyed it. If you don't like that, or if you're like, I can't even believe that kind of stuff, then you're not going to enjoy this. But Layla by Colleen Hoover, I'd give it a 4 out of 5 stars, but it was good. If you like, I don't know, if you like paranormal kind of romance, kind of not books, then you'll like it. Next one was another one by Minka Kent. And I read this book in one day, and it is a super easy read. And something about it just made me love it so much. It was based on just about college kids, and then there's murder, and it is really good. It made me feel like it was a lot more of almost like a young adult novel than one that's meant just for adults, because it was such an easy one to read. And there was some kind of just normal, like, girl drama, like you'd see more like a chick lit, like Gossip Girl kind of stuff, but then there's murder. So it was a really good one, and I read in a day, so it's a great quick read. Okay, we're down to the last three. If you got this far, woo, I'm so happy for you. Last two. Two out of these last three are by Minka Kent as well. The Thinnest Air. This one was about a woman who was kidnapped in like a rich area outside of Salt Lake City. And I love reading about, like, rich and fabulous people, you know, who doesn't? And so this was really fun, especially since I've been watching Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. So you can just picture it in your head a lot clearer, but it's a good one. I love a good kidnapping story. That is something, and it's like mystery. They call it a thriller. I think it's more of a mystery in this one, but it's good. And then I read The Memory Watcher. I think the interesting thing about The Memory Watcher by Minka Kent is that I think you're not meant to like the main character, because she's not a good person. And she just is crazy. She's a stalker. And reading from a stalker's perspective, is really interesting, and she's stalking using social media. So it's very modern day, relevant, just really interesting. You can completely imagine it. Everything in Minka Ken's books, you can visualize it so clearly, no matter what. Like whether it is when I was talking about the first book I read of hers, where it was the Stillwater Girls and they're in the cabin in the middle of nowhere, or this person who's scrolling through, they call it Instaface, I think. So like scrolling through her social media, like it is just, you picture it in your head so well. I love Minka Kent. I'm happy with all the books that I read from her. I did not like this character, but it was a good read. This book will just make you go, what the heck is she doing? So I suggest it. And then the last book I read, I will be honest, I read it because I saw it on TikTok and on Instagram. And I like these personal development people. I like these coaches who are meant to like make you feel good and like teach you about business and personal development, self-improvement, self-help. It was called Eat, Pray, and then hashtag FML, and by Gabrielle Stone. I saw her on TikTok talking about it a lot. And I don't even know with this book. It just wasn't as well written as it could have been. And she's somebody who, when she writes, she'll throw in a lot of just curse words just to put them there. And I think it was meant to be like, oh, this is how I talk. But when you're reading it, it is just a little harsh and like unnecessary. Like it could have been written a lot better. She ended up, it's a play off of Eat, Pray, Love. So she ended up traveling through Europe. And it's just basically a book about a girl complaining about her boyfriend and ex-husband problems, which I understand. They're frustrating things, but I would have enjoyed a little bit more of the writing about the actual experience in Europe. That portion of the book is what I really enjoyed the most, is reading about the different locations and the adventures and the fun nights that they had. But if you're reading this book, it gets better. I was excited to like come back to it. It was like kind of addicting, but the beginning, it was one of those things where she's like throwing in, like, I'm trying to put this video up on YouTube, so I'm not going to say all the bad words, but she's just throwing in a curse word, like once a sentence, just, and I'm like, this is just taking me forever to read because it's overwhelming. And I don't care if people curse, but it was unnecessary. So that's how I closed out 2020, was with that one. I'm going to say I have two favorite books of 2020. One from the first half and one from the second half. From the first half of the year, my favorite book was definitely If You Tell by Greg Olson. Fabulous read. I say fabulous read. It was extremely dark and disgusting and disturbing. But if you're into that sort of stuff, like I obviously am, you need to read this book. It was definitely a bestseller. Like everyone's read it. It's so good. Just Greg Olson. He could do no wrong in my book. And he lives like half an hour from me. It's so weird. I just want to run into him at the grocery store, but I don't even know what I would say to him. He's also just like a regular looking guy. You know, he's an author. It's not a movie star. So like if I saw him, I probably wouldn't even know what to do. But and then Verity by Colleen Hoover. Those were my top two books of the year. My bottom book of the year, like I said, the United States of Anxiety. Just not very good. And then I've read a lot of books in between, but as you can tell, I read a lot of thrillers in the fall and winter and got into like some dark stuff and some darker memoirs, but I really enjoyed all the books that I read. I'm glad that I read all of them. And I encourage you guys to read, if that's one of your goals in 2021, to read more, just like, even if it's one book and you haven't read a book in a long time, that's great. Just reading like one book, and then you'll move up to like one a month, and then you'll end up with however many. My goal for this year is 50, and I am currently reading Fight Club. So that one is dark too, guys. That one's really rough though. It's very different than anything I've read before. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you have any more suggestions for me to read, definitely let me know. I'm always open to suggestions. And definitely, if you enjoyed this episode, let me know, because I know some people don't like them, but if you like these, I want you to let me know that you like them. And if you've read any of the books that I read and you have similar thoughts to me, I'd love to chat about them. I like talking about books. I'm so glad I have a friend who actually reads some of the similar books that I do, and then we'll text back and forth about, oh, how far are you? Did this happen? Oh my gosh. So that part is really fun. As always, you can leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and all that jazz. But last thing is, there is a blog post for this episode on the website. So if you go to pishposhpodcast.com/blog, where all of the books are listed, a short description is listed that I wrote out, and then there's links to all of them. So if you know that you want to buy one of these books that I'm talking about, I would be extra happy if you bought it from my page, because I'll get like a teeny tiny, like half a penny, just like 1 cent from Amazon. So if you're going to buy them from Amazon anyways, click from my site first. So if you have any questions, just DM me, message me, comment on the blog post too. You can always comment there. And I'm so excited. I'm thinking about doing these once a quarter instead of twice a year, because I've been reading so much more and it's kind of a lot. This is a big one, but wanted to share all these with you, and hope you are enjoying reading this year. So grab a book. Cheers. Party on. Thank you for listening to this episode of Pish Posh with Lindsay Wilson. I am so glad you joined us. Make sure you're subscribed on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. Then make sure you're following us on Instagram at Pish Posh Pod. Then, if you want even more, you can join us at patreon.com/pishposhpod. There are bonus episodes there and journaling prompts for you to use whenever you want. So check all that out. We'll see you next week. Party on. Thank you.